world events, national headlines, and local news that affects you most. The Steph Lucas Show is on.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steph Lucas Show. What's the deal for this first hour of the Steph Lucas Show? Well, we're talking about vaccine mandates. The debate is continuing. Lobbyist groups, including the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, have talked about the rights of three of Idaho's largest healthcare providers. St. Alphonsus, St. Luke's Primary Health Group announced they would require COVID-19 vaccines for their employees by, I believe, sometime in September, or they couldn't work there anymore. So this has caused quite a stir across the entire state. And Ada County Republicans actually does a great synopsis, if you visit their Facebook page, bringing up both sides of the story and the issue that Ada County Republicans puts out there about these employees and their rights. They're saying COVID-19 vaccinations are still not FDA approved. Currently, the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are being used under emergency use authorization. So these vaccines still lack FDA approval. And it seems like, with what the Idaho Dispatch and other groups have been told by these employees of the healthcare providers that don't want to get vaccinated, these are just some of their concerns. So here to just talk about that is our fearless leader for Rich Broadcasting, Richard Meekum. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steph.
And I'm sorry I only gave you 20 minutes to prepare. I know you were in town for some meetings, and I'm like, could you do me a favor? You're kind of the expert on this.
No, I am not an expert. I just read a lot.
Right. All right.
And let me just – no, you go ahead. You go ahead and lead me. Lead me wherever you want to take me.
Well,
but you did make an interesting comment off the bat.
Which is?
Well, okay, so it's not FDA approved.
Right.
Okay. So here's my question. All these we've had flu vaccines approved since basically 1940.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yet we have never required anyone to get a flu vaccine ever. You know, you're not required to get that new vaccine for kids that's supposed to prevent cancer when you turn 60.
Right.
It's not the law. Just because it's FDA approved doesn't mean you have to take it.
Right.
So here we've had 80 years of FDA approved vaccines, or I don't know when the FDA came into, but the bottom line is they've existed for 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
We know they've been FDA approved for generations, and yet you still have the choice of whether or not to take that vaccine. And it doesn't matter about the variants. It doesn't matter about anything else.
Mm.
I mean, I've never had a flu vaccine. I never get sick. I'm really lucky. I think I have great immunities, antibodies. I don't know what I have.
You told me once you took like 4 days off in the last 20 years.
The FDA has approved these flu vaccines. Why haven't they been mandated? Since 1940, over 4 million people have died in this country from the flu. And yet they've never mandated a vaccine. So what is it about this one that is so unique? And now with a vaccine that hasn't even been approved, and you gave me 20 minutes. You gave me 20 minutes,
yeah.
You know, when you asked me if I wanted to be on the show today and talk about this stuff. And in 20 minutes, I pulled up more information than our wonderful Surgeon General who just came on a couple minutes ago with that Fox News report saying there's so much misinformation going around causing the hesitancy to get the vaccine. You know, hey, I'm sorry, the FDA, I don't know that I have a whole lot of faith and confidence in
them.
Who
appoints these people? Oh, wait.
And whether or not they've approved it or not, but the bottom line is you do not have to take a vaccine that has not been approved by the federal government. And secondarily, you don't have to take a vaccine anyway. When did that become the law of the land?
Yeah.
That now, oh, my gosh, if you want to work here – well, why did they fire everybody who didn't get a flu vaccine in 2019? 56,000 people died in the United States from the flu in 2019.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You know, my mom and dad died from it. They did. But my mom and dad died from the flu. Oh, my gosh. You know, we should make that mandatory. You need to protect my parents.
Right.
Where was that? Why haven't we done this for the last 25 years? I mean, 1.5 million people died from tuberculosis in 2019 or 2020. 10 million people got tuberculosis. Why didn't we ever also start masking up and protect ourselves from that? There is such an agenda behind this.
Mm-hmm.
It's stifling. And like I said, in 20 minutes, I pulled up stuff that if I read this, and by the way, I pulled up the the what's the word? Anyway, it describes the come on, what's it called? Anyway, the reasons it's Moderna's disclaimer. I pulled up the Pfizer disclaimer because it takes about 5 seconds to look it up.
Right.
And you read that anybody that would read this from their own companies, you wouldn't take this shot on a bet.
Gotcha. So you totally understand where people trained in healthcare are looking at this and saying, no, I don't want to get the shot.
What I really don't understand is people that are trained in healthcare and people that manage these companies, these hospital groups, are sitting there making something mandatory that in order to be employed, that makes absolutely no sense. They have no right to stick something in your body, and you don't even know what it is. Can I just share a couple of quick things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me just tell you, I'm taking this off. And by the way, this is the fact sheet, which I think is so funny. It's not that funny. But a friend of mine who got the shot, this is the fact sheet they gave him afterwards.
Oh.
They didn't give it to him before. They gave it to him afterwards.
Okay.
And you could go to this website and look this stuff up. And let me just hit a few of the highlights. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine may prevent you from getting COVID-19. And here's my favorite line. It is your choice to receive the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. It is your choice. That's from Moderna. So who the hell, excuse the expression, these people think they are that can turn around and tell you that even Moderna says it should be your choice? The Moderna vaccine may not protect everyone. Here's a great one. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is an unapproved vaccine that may prevent COVID-19. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19.
Right.
So you're going to make me put something into my body. I don't even know what it is, and it's never been tested. We are literally the human guinea pigs being used here because they never did the animal trials. We are in a phase 3 part of the trial. Mm-hmm. Normally that would be when they do the mice and the rats and the ferrets and the monkeys and all this other stuff.
There's no ferrets and monkeys,
They're waiting to see over the next 2 to 3 years how this shot actually impacts people. And my other favorite is this: no one under the age of 18 should get this shot. Yeah. And yet here are these schools telling. I know up in Sun Valley, for example, up in Blaine County, they're telling people if you aren't vaccinated when you come back to school, you have to wear a mask. Well, Moderna and the Pfizer disclaimers say no one under the age of 18 should even be taking this shot.
But they're telling,
and we're going
to
make the 12 to 18 year olds take a shot that the companies that make these things say they shouldn't be doing. I mean, what land are we living in?
Well, and you're talking about the agenda behind this. So let's talk, like you're saying, what land are we living in? What do you think is the end goal to all of this, to forcing the vaccines, or is that like a whole nother segment?
Well, no, you know, I really, when this first started, I mean, think back on the history of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
When this first hit, Mike Pence comes out and says, you know, let's be really careful for a couple of weeks.
Right.
We'll slow the curve and we'll move on.
Right.
And I don't mean to be the grand conspiracy theorist here, but I mean, let's face it. People have died. Okay. People have died.
Yes.
It's interesting when you listen to Rand Paul. He says, based on the figures that the CDC throws around, which is, why do we believe their numbers and nobody else's? What gives them such grand credibility? And the WHO, the brilliant group that oversaw the leak of this disease in the first place, and Fauci, who funded it, in case nobody knows.
It's not bats. I can tell you that.
I know it's not bats. But I'm just saying, you look at 100 million people who they claim have had COVID.
Okay.
According to the CDC, they said, oh, we've crossed this great milestone. 600,000 people have died from COVID. So let's assume but if you read the CDC, they also say that of all those people, on average, they had 2.6 other physical maladies, like the flu, like pneumonia,
asthma,
like COPD, like tuberculosis, like all kinds, anything and everything that could affect your lungs. And they say people that died of the actual COVID virus is 6% of that number.
Mm-hmm.
So you're of that 600,000, you're talking 36,000 people, which is less than a normal flu year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even if you use that number and you divide 600,000 by a million or 100 million, it's 0.006%. 600,000 is 0.006% of that 100 million. So 99.94% of the people that have gotten COVID had recovered, mm-hmm. and yet everybody has to get a vaccine to protect the 0.006% that have died, theoretically died from COVID, using the 600,000 number. Right. Hey, don't go back and divide 36,000 by 100 million. You'll run out of decimal points. It's so far off the charts. So, I mean, I'm not a virologist, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty good with numbers.
Yeah, you are.
And these numbers make no sense.
So you absolutely believe that first of all, the numbers don't make any sense. You've pointed that out because you always run numbers as a business owner. I see that all the time. And as a business owner, you think that the vaccine not being FDA approved changes the whole at will to work issue. I mean, it's
well. My question is, we've had this. Whether it was the flu, whatever mm-hmm. it was, SARS, the swine flu, on and on and on. We've had these episodes throughout the world for years. I can't remember. There's so many different flus. I forget which one.
What was the big scare when you were a kid?
It was the swine flu or one of those flus. And they gave 42 million shots, and 15 people died. And they pulled the vaccine mm-hmm. because they felt it was too dangerous. Because 15 people died out of 42 million doses.
Right.
I mean, that's how critical. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. In here. I'm going to turn that down for just a sec. Love your ringtone, by the way. It's the Beatles. All right.
But
sorry.
But if you look at the VAERS study, and for a lot of people who don't know that, the VAERS stands for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Okay.
This is the group that doctors and people report to when they have some sort of a negative experience with the vaccine.
Right.
And these numbers came out of the CDC, the reports from VAERS to the CDC. Mm-hmm. The CDC may not want you to see them, mm-hmm. but they've now crossed the threshold of over 7,000 people have died from this vaccine, according to VAERS. And of course, everybody poo-poos it. Oh my gosh, that's disinformation.
Yeah.
Well, if it's disinformation, why is it on the CDC website?
Right.
I mean, these are supposed to be the gods of reliability.
You know, I think you're hitting the nail on the head here. It really comes down to this being FDA approved or not. It's not so much about what we're telling businesses to do. It's about the fact that it still comes down to the vaccine and whether people trust it or not.
And whether people trust, not only do whether people trust it, mm-hmm. but do they have the right to decide what does or doesn't go in their body. I wouldn't even care if it was FDA approved.
Right, right.
Nobody has any business. Nobody's ever come to me and said, Richard, you haven't had your flu shot. Mm-hmm. You better get your flu shot or you can't go to work. Or you haven't had a tetanus shot. You can't come to work here. Or whatever it is. But over all these years, since 1940, since those flu vaccines came out, not one person or job that I'm ever aware of has said to somebody, you can't work here. Mm-hmm. If you don't get this year's flu vaccine.
That's true.
That's never happened. Now here we are. Why is this? You know what? They slapped the name pandemic on it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's this worldwide horrific crisis. And the bottom line is, it's like I say, if 99.94% are recovering, mm-hmm. and when you recover, 9 times out of 10, you're getting the antibodies that you need to keep you from ever getting it again. That's mm-hmm. what builds up your immune system. But most people are recovering from this thing.
Right.
And I'll, Steph, this will be my little conspiratorial thought. But I'm just looking at the political season this past year.
Yeah.
This thing was going to go away. And all of a sudden it was like, hey, maybe the people in the polling places would be afraid. Mm-hmm. Would be afraid to have somebody come in that might have COVID.
Yeah.
So you know what? We'll do mail-in ballots, and we'll make it so that
everyone gets a mail-in ballot whether they ask for one or not.
And all of a sudden, we're so afraid of each other that now we have no way to verify. We have no way to do anything. We can do all these mail-in ballots. And this thing became a political football.
Yeah.
And like I say, when I look at, if anybody has any question about this thing, I mean, you just look at Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
Get the mask. You need a mask. First of all, it's only symbolic. The next thing you know, he's wearing 3 masks.
Right.
Then, and now his emails come out And you find out all the time and research and money that he and others funneled over to the Wuhan lab because they made it illegal to work to test these viruses in the United States.
Absolutely.
And he's got his hands all over this thing.
Exactly.
And he's telling us what we can or can't do.
Right.
This is the guy who decides for us.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know what?
And tells people the vaccine is safe. So if people are suspicious, understood, they should respect that.
He tells them they're safe and there's no adverse effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steph, can I hit a couple more?
Yeah.
You got in a minute or two?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes before commercial.
Let me just tell you. It says here, those who should not get the COVID vaccine, it says, if you've ever had a severe allergic reaction to any of the ingredients in the vaccine, mm-hmm. do you have any idea what's in the vaccine?
No.
How would
you've
I know?
Told
how,
me.
How would I know if I was going to be allergic? Yeah. Let me throw, for those of you out listening, who've probably all tuned out now since I got in the air, ribonucleic acid. A polyethylene glycol, dimethyl, glycerol, cholesterol, diastereosine glycol. I mean, how would I ever know if I was allergic to any of this stuff?
Mm.
And then here it comes again. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is an unapproved vaccine. In clinical trials, approximately 15,000 individuals 18 years and older had received at least one dose. One dose, because it's a two-dose vaccine.
Yes.
One first month, one the second month. So of the entire 330 million people in this country, 15,000 people got their first dose, not even the second dose.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, that's the research that we have that decides whether this thing is safe or not. The reason they're saying it's safe is because, oh my gosh, you know, look at all the people who've taken it and nothing's happening. Stuff is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, that VAERS number, and they say that VAERS number may represent only 1%. Because it's a voluntary reporting system, it says it may only represent 1% of the actual cases and things that are going on out there. And I'm not going to get into the gory details here, but you want to do a little research?
Yeah.
Start looking around at what's happening with regard to spontaneous abortion. Oh, and I'm sure the Surgeon General will tell you,
right.
Oh, my gosh, it's a misinformation campaign. Look it up for yourself.
Dr. Ron Cole mentioned that on our show a couple of months ago.
Oh, my gosh. And particularly women in their first trimester. And I'm just going to leave it at that. You go do your own homework.
Mm.
And then you decide if that's something you want to stick into your body. And then somebody's going to tell me, I'm a pregnant woman. I'm working for one of these health organizations.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me I have to potentially risk my child to stay working for
right.
you? It's insanity.
When someone else's vaccine technically should be working, so why are they worried?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy, did you just hit a great one. If you've had the vaccine, what do you care if anybody
right.
else gets it or not?
If somebody comes into a hospital and they've had the vaccine, what are they worried about?
What are you worried about? You should be protected.
Right.
If you've had the vaccine, well, so what does it say to me? Does it work or doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've had your two Moderna shots. So, and by definition, a vaccine prevents something. It prevents something. That's the definition of a vaccine.
Yes.
And yet you read this thing and said there is no approved vaccine for the COVID-19 virus. So this is not a vaccine. It's a shot. It's an experiment. It will not be a vaccine until the research is done and completed. And unfortunately, we're phase three of the research.
And that absolutely comes into play with these healthcare workers being completely concerned, and as you're pointing out, justified in being concerned about the vaccine. So I really appreciate it. Richard Meekham, thanks for coming on, giving us your research done in 20 minutes. This guy's amazing.
Touchdown.
Richard Meekham, owner of Rich Broadcasting at KID. Always great to have him on.
Don't spend your day informationally distant. Get up close with the news you need.
An earful of information.
It has to be based on the facts.
Steph Lucas.
Connect residents to information.
On KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. I'm sitting here hanging out with Richard Meekham, owner of Rich Broadcasting, KID. Richard has read a lot. He's done a lot of research, and he's basically my go-to for any research that he has, or anyone would have, about the COVID-19 vaccine. So we were talking over the break, and what Richard and I are discussing is the fact that three of Idaho's largest healthcare providers, St. Alphonsus, St. Luke's, and Primary Health Group, announced they would require COVID-19 vaccines for employees if they want to stay employed there. So Richard was addressing over the last segment concerns that he has about the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, Richard, you being a business owner here in Idaho, you have a vested interest in this legislative session. If there's a legislative session to talk about employees' rights, okay, so what if, and I've talked about this with Representative Brett Crane yesterday, what if the legislature did meet? This is totally hypothetical here, but what if they passed a law that said, okay, hospitals, if you require people to get a vaccine to be employed by your company, then this employee can hold you liable for anything that goes wrong with that vaccine. What would you think about that?
Well, I actually have three thoughts that popped into my head. And and by the way, for those of you who are listening, I know I was supposed to be gone, but I think Steph's next interview is running a little late.
Yeah.
So I guess I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, if there was ever a reason why the state legislature ought to get together and come to a determination and put an end to this silliness, this is it. I mean, my gosh. And you know what? And please don't do what the federal government does. And just wash your hands of it and say, oh, it wasn't my idea. I'm not responsible. I mean,
that happens
let
a
me
lot
tell
in
you,
Idaho.
And the federal government cannot mandate a vaccine.
Right.
I mean, look it up. They can't mandate a vaccine. So they don't want to look like the bad guys. So what are they doing? They're turning it all over to these hospitals. They're turning it all over to these large
employers.
The teachers unions and the medical professions and all these other places, and they're dumping tons of money. I mean, I'd like to find out how much money these hospitals are getting as a result of this CARES Act.
That's a good question.
And in terms of, I know I told you the story of one of our salespeople who went in for a little minor knee surgery, and they came in the morning before they did the surgery, and the nurse told her, she said, well, just so you know, and if this isn't true, I'm just telling you what was said to her, and if the nurse was off base, then, you know, go check it out with the hospital.
Right.
But we know this is, I mean, so she said, we're listing you as a COVID patient.
What?
And she said, well, I'm not a COVID patient. She said, yeah, but if we list you as a COVID patient, we get X number of thousands of additional dollars in care money. And look at Biden, that clown.
Kamala?
Not her. That's clown number two.
Fauci.
Clown number three. What was I just saying?
This clown.
Oh, all the clowns. Yeah, I got into the bozo thing.
There's a lot of clowns.
But, though. Biden, and it's one of these secretaries, one of these Health and Human Services or one of these people, said that, you know what, if it was early on in the COVID deal and you didn't realize when somebody died that they may have theoretically died from COVID, that you could go back and alter their death certificate and we'll send you a check for X number of thousands of dollars. You wonder why these numbers are inflated? There is so much money in reporting COVID, and more COVID. My knee surgery gal is a positive COVID test, according to the hospital, which she didn't have. So that's the – I mean, my gosh, don't please, Idaho legislators, don't be like the federal government and just allow somebody else to do your job.
Yeah.
You step up to the plate and don't let them – and don't just say, let's leave it up to whomever. Right. Whomever is screwing people over.
Stop passing the buck.
Quit passing the buck and put an end to this craziness. And secondarily, even if that was the policy, I still wouldn't get the shot just based on all this research.
Right.
Why would I put something into my body, just so I can stay at work? And maybe, I mean, the FDA just came out and said no one under the – they're putting warning labels now on the Moderna and the Pfizer shots because – kids 18 and under are having problems with myocarditis. They're seeing, and it's a minuscule number. Hey, if it's your kid, it's not a minuscule number.
It's not minuscule.
And inflammation around your heart or deep vein thrombosis and blood clots. And I know people that have had struggles with blood clots.
Right.
I'm too old. I don't want something cracking off in my leg and going to my brain. So I just, based on what this says about the side effects and everything else, I wouldn't want to get near it.
Right.
So that wouldn't necessarily be a choice for me anyway. But the third one is, and Steph, I'll send you this. I know I may have sent it to you before.
Yes, and someone emailed me about this, and I need to get it up on the website. But go ahead.
I have my – actually, it was my dear wife who dug this up.
Yeah.
It's a document that states – I mean, most people don't realize that these pharmaceutical companies have no liability. Uh-huh. You could drop dead as a stone, which you know, you could just drop dead.
Yeah.
And – they have no liability. You have no recourse. The federal government, I love these guys. They passed the law saying, you know, we just need these guys to be out there pumping out this stuff, and we really need it badly.
Right.
And therefore, we're not going to hold them liable if they happen to make a few mistakes along the way. So I've got this really great form. If I was an employee and going into one of these hospitals, I'd make them sign it. Because the cool part is it lists all the it talks about the Constitution. It talks about federal law. It talks about state laws. It talks about all kinds of things that protect you from having to have this happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'd say if you're willing to sign this and you're willing to take personal be personally liable for anything that happens to me as a result of taking this shot, then maybe I'll consider it. But if you're not, you know, you're going to force me to do something that could potentially harm me, and then you're not willing to take responsibility for whatever damage might be done.
Yeah.
You show me just how confident you are, Mr. Hospital, and you sign this document telling me that I can share with my family that if anything happens to me, you'll take responsibility, you'll take liability, you'll pay for my family's bills and expenses for the rest of their living days. And let's see how many. Let me see how many times they'll sign that document.
So you think that they pass that as a state level, at a state level, saying you can hold a hospital liable? Do you think hospitals would back off real fast?
I would.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
One person under each one of those three organizations you're talking about gets hit with $100 million lawsuit, and then you know what happens in the world of the law? It becomes class action. Then all of a sudden, everybody else. This has similar problems. Maybe somebody didn't die or whatever. But all of a sudden, my gosh, have you seen these videos that for some of these people that have had these horrendous reactions to these shots?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like they have Parkinson's disease. They can't control their motion, their movements. There's a Facebook site out there that with 30,000 people on it who are trying to share ideas of how to deal with the problems and challenges they're having after having taken this shot.
And they haven't been censored by Facebook yet.
Well, guess why? Yeah. And guess what? And the doctors won't touch them. The problem they're having is the doctors aren't willing to see them.
Because
the doctors, you know they made money. You know they're making money off this thing. The last thing they want to do is have you come back in and say, I think that look what the shot did to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't help you.
They can't verify.
There's thousands and thousands of people who can't get medical care right now because nobody wants to deal with them because they got talked into doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, if this thing is so damn fantastic, then take your vitamin D, take your vitamin C, get yourself a prescription of ivermectin because I flat guarantee you there's enough research behind that. But just take good care of yourself, get your exercise and everything else. Wait a couple of years, and if it's that great, get your shot in 2 or 3 years.
When there's more data
available.
When
the real tests are done. Let's see what happens to all these people. And by the way, I hope nothing happens. I don't want bad things to happen to people.
Sure.
But my gosh, if I read this stuff from the very companies that are supposed to be interested, they're not interested in me. They want my M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
I mean, Pfizer is already asking for emergency use authorization for a third booster. Because of the Delta variant or all these – now we have all these variants like we had with the traditional flu.
I read that liberal paper said why a third booster shot is inevitable. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I'll tell you why. Because now, see, in the old days with flu, you'd have a variant and they would kind of adjust the vaccine and try to compensate for it. And it's really just a crapshoot. Hoping that they have the right shot for the right variant of the flu that particular year. And usually 20-30% of them work and the other 70% don't.
Right.
But now, isn't it interesting how suddenly we're discovering variants every 4 months? All of a sudden something's coming out of Peru. Something gets named after Delta
Something's
Airlines.
Something's coming out of India.
On and on. Why are they all just – they're lining up in a row? And I'll tell you, you think this is the beginning or the end? This is the beginning.
Right.
6 months from now, you're going to get your third booster. And then 6 months from now, there's going to be the next variant. You're going to get your fourth booster. And on and on and on.
Speaking
and
of that,
on.
I have a couple friends I've spoken to that are business owners, and they are terrified to death that if everyone that if vaccines aren't taken, the government's going to shut economy down again. They're worried. What do you think would happen?
Biden has already said he'll support lockdowns. They're already talking about. My wife talks about this all the time. Joe Biden already came out and said I would support lockdowns again. This isn't about people's health.
Yeah.
This is about wiping out small business. Look who's benefited from all of this.
Right.
I mean, the stock market's going through the roof. And who are the big winners? Google, Facebook, Microsoft, right. You know, Bill Gates, all these guys, Soros, all these people that have billions of dollars invested in the pharmaceutical industry, in addition to all their other little wonderful interests in how they manage the world and people and everything else. And all these guys are going through the roof. They're making a fortune while Payway in a Chinese restaurant is always out of business.
Yeah.
Half the Sizzlers are out of business. Famous Dave's is going out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in Salt Lake. I don't know about up here. I mean, all these people wiped out. And look what's happening. Now you've got millions of additional people who used to be workers, who used to love to pay their own way, are getting so used to federal and state welfare, you can't get them to come back to work. You don't think there isn't something to that
Speaking
in terms
of
control?
Which, do you think our office manager would have something to say if we went ahead and talked about we're looking for salespeople at Rich Broadcasting?
Oh, my gosh, no.
No.
What? That's me. You know what? I think we're in the coolest business in the world.
Right.
And I've made an incredible living in radio, and I have hundreds and hundreds of friends who've done the same thing. And almost to a person, they came up through sales and sales management.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great living. I mean, this is kind of a unique format because there's a lot of talk and the Hannitys and the
yeah.
whatevers. And then, you know, but then you get into the country music and or you like classic rock.
But
I actually like classical music. I just wanted to sell it.
If you're a salesperson here, you've got four different mediums to sell.
There's nobody you can't talk to. And the very people that the very station that you're listening to, your friends are listening to it as well. Wouldn't you want to help them grow their business? It's just a great way. It's just a great living.
Exactly. And let's talk about a lot of people. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. A lot of people have really out of skew view of what sales is because of like shows like Mad Men and stuff. It's not like this high pressure in your face, you know, used car salesman crazy stuff. Okay. It's a relationship you build with clients.
80% of sales is the relationship, is personality relationships, and 20% is product knowledge. People do business with people they enjoy being around. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the goal is to create a partnership. Look at car dealers. Let's use car dealers, for example.
Right.
They don't want to just sell you the car.
Right.
They want you to come in for service.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to come in, for repairs. I mean, they want that long-term relationship because that's where the real opportunity is.
Yeah.
And so my goal, from my perspective, if we have somebody that's advertising on radio and we haven't done our homework and put together the kind of a message that's reaching the right kind of person that drives people in to do business with our clients, then we've screwed up.
Right.
And so our goal is to take the time to find out what our clients' goals are and then show them how radio can, you know, what are your financial goals? What are your dreams and your aspirations? Let me show you where I think we can make a difference and help. And I got to tell you, calling on general managers and owners of businesses and getting wired in to the and attending chamber events and getting to meet all these people, I got to tell you, Steph, and I'm not going to cherry pick any particular company, but if I had to stand behind a counter all day or you know, selling
cell
soda
phones.
Pop or cell phones or, you know, just sitting at a kiosk someplace all for 8 or 9 hours a day, or I would go crazy.
Right.
I mean, the beautiful part about this business is the only time we look at you funny is if you're around the building too much. We want you out talking to the people.
Well, yeah, but you're an extremely creative guy, and that's what sales takes is creativity, I think, to create packages for customers and say, okay, what audience do you want to reach? What's your demographic?
Who's
what
your
do you
client?
Want to sell?
What area, what geographical area do they come from? I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Right. You have to be a good listener when you're in sales.
And you have to help build a profile of who these people are trying to reach and who actually spends money in their place of business.
And radio
and
works.
It works. If the people are willing to take the time to do that, I mean, radio is the number one reach medium in the United States of America.
Yes.
It has surpassed television.
Mm-hmm.
It surpassed all these social media platforms that everybody thinks are so red hot.
Yeah.
Hey, I think social media is cool.
Your return on investment in radio is actually like 6 to 1.
Oh, in some cases, it could be as high as 22 to 1, depending on the product.
Right.
It's really amazing.
And especially in communities like East Idaho, it is a valuable service to businesses that are coming out of this pandemic. They need to advertise.
They need to get
back on their feet.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate they got knocked off their feet, and it's time to put them back on.
Right, I agree.
And we're jacked up, and we're looking forward to making it happen.
Exactly. So that's why you and I were talking.
Boy, what a transition.
I know. Sorry. I just wanted to talk about that because we're having a fun conversation, and I'm like, when we're having fun conversations like this at Rich Broadcasting on KID, you can be a part of it. So that's why we're looking for sales.
Well, I'll just tell you this. If you're a seller or if you're a marketer and if you've got digital social media skills,
yeah,
you meld all that together, oh, my gosh.
Sky's the limit.
You're deadly.
There's like, I mean.
You're deadly.
Yeah. You are
a hot commodity.
Exactly. Exactly. So
we'd love to talk to you.
You know why we got on this subject? We were talking about, you're like, look at the amount of people staying home because of this pandemic. We want some go-getters.
And I'll tell you that the exciting part is people are fed up, they're worn out.
Yeah,
they want to get back out of the world. You know, we have stations up in the Sun Valley.
Yes,
you can't get a condo up there.
No,
they're sold out.
Blaine County's crazy.
They are sold out. You can't get hotel rooms. You can't rent condos.
Right.
Campgrounds.
Yeah.
Try to find a space on a campground right now.
No,
people cannot. They are jonesing to be outside.
Right.
And this will be my last COVID-related comment.
Yeah.
But when I see these young kids walking around, across the street, I was up in Haley, Idaho yesterday, mm-hmm. and here's these young kids, 17, 18, some guy sitting at a bus stop, probably 21 years old, nobody within a half a mile of him, wearing a black face mask on an 93-degree day. I'm going, are you out of your freaking mind? I'll tell you, if that doesn't tell you the power of advertising and the billion dollars. You want to know why so many people believe what they believe? Because the federal government spent $1 billion.
This is true.
$1 billion in advertising. All those ad council PSAs and things you hear.
Wear masks, social distance.
Those aren't PSAs. Those are cash spots. They are spending money creating this incredibly beautiful picture of how this thing's going to turn the world around and we're all living nirvana the rest of our lives if we just stick a needle in our arm. $1 billion. And then when I see these kids walking down the street, don't tell me advertising doesn't work. It's so powerful. It's powerful.
And radio's the best medium to do it. So that's why we're looking for salespeople. Richard, we're having so much fun talking about this. You and I are going to make a radio sales podcast and put it on the website because I love hearing your sales stories. So thanks for joining us. We're going to take a couple of commercial and news breaks, and then we'll be back on the Steph Lucas Show.